prayer, no, or and or 101. So yeah, I think some Vaishnava devotees out there, especially of the older breed, may find these talks here on this podcast my English one on Priyavrata and the Swedish one on Bhakti Yoga for us beginners a little different maybe. And yes, we from the 60s, 70s grew up on the, during the Vietnam War and the Cold War, and they were capitalists and communists and parents who were stuck in the establishment. It was about standing up, questioning things. What's real, what's not, what's true, what's not. So, well, that's what still is there in our souls. Some of us oldies, but then of course some oldies turn into old nice religious people. Almost like the way my grandmother was when I was 18, and I thought it was completely boring. And I felt there must be some living spiritual, and I didn't feel it then, but later, there must be some living spirituality here. And it's not in those religious institutions and groups where you just sit and are good because you're a member of the right congregation or whatever faith. So yeah, I mean, why I'm saying this is just to warn a little that if you want to continue listening and looking at this, so it's not that you want to criticize anything, but questioning. And questioning means just that. How about this? How about that? So, and what I'm saying here today is, and this is my outlook on the world and life these days. And basically always were. You know, here we are in a world. You know, I was there 20 years old, just got out of my teens, survived that, but with a whole bunch of questions in my mind. Gosh, no, I got out of this childhood, moved away from my parents. What am I gonna do? And I guess, who am I may not be the evident philosophical question. But yeah, asking it in a more practical way, you know, what education shall I take, what job shall I go for. Yeah, that's I'm an ordinary heterosexual guy. And I like women and what to do with, you know, this whole thing. I got this body with different parts to it, senses, and those senses have desires and attractions, automatic almost. What's going on here? And they are strong. I remember being 21 and I read books from Asia about wisdom, about how to control the senses and live simple and balance and harmony and find happiness from within. Especially not eat junk food. So I was fasting and, you know, following good healthy diets. Vegetarian. And then I sat there, I remember in my apartment. It was one autumn evening, dark outside. And I just felt these senses are so strong. They want food more, this and that. And yeah, I lost control and I went out down to the shop and came up with a whole table loaded with delicacies. Sat there gobbling it in. Of course, in a few minutes, I felt stomach was completely packed and I felt almost suffering instead, but the tongue kept going. Yeah, I want those tastes. Yeah, swallow it down, don't care about the stomach. Anyway, just to put a little picture into this, I mean, these are the kind of thing, what to speak of the genitals. Eww, can't speak about such things here. But you know, they have their desires. And but why? I sat there in my armchair just asking that. Why is that? These senses seem to be my enemies. They're sitting here in my body, but they are forcing me to do things that I don't want to do sometimes. And that was the first time I really challenged, stood up against the senses, and realized, my goodness, they're fighting back. I'm in a war here with the senses. So yeah, that's... that's where you are, you know, you're young, you're growing up, and all these questions, all these issues of life. And it goes on like that. Of course, they change. The teenage ones, they change over to others. You learn how to deal with that. Something else comes, and life is filled full of these challenges. And that's kind of part of the fun of it. If you learn how to, you know, if you successfully meet those challenges and deal with them. And that's what the Bhagavad Gita and all these old wisdom scriptures and so on, and the teachings of the wise, you know, the meditation and all that is meant for. And yeah, it's about, first of all, learning to know yourself the way you are, deeper in there. Just like we, I kind of encourage my sons to take a Sabbath year, as you call it, a break from the studies and think about life, which way to go next. And I say that it's also good, may also be good to take a break. Just looking really for yourself, really dealing with these, getting answers to these deep, fundamental, existential questions. I mean, when I worked as a hypnotherapist, I drifted into what I call existential therapy, and that's what I offer to clients. Start with those deeper questions, deal with them therapeutically, because I realized that, you know, this is where it starts. This is where life actually is going on. So yeah, I mean, this is what you find here, and this is what I like to hear and deal with and to share, because now I'm 70. And yeah, actually, after moving away from my parents' home when I was 18, I spent a couple of years, of course, you know, teenager and big city and friends and girls and all kinds of things. Not going completely wild. I mean, I had friends who even got in trouble for life, seriously, because they took two big steps out into where you probably shouldn't have stepped at all. So, I mean, there were victims, yes, among us, but there was also sincere, and I would say daring, in some cases courageous, seeking for the truth, for the real thing, for ourselves. And we used to ask each other like that, are you a seeker of yourself? And so on. So, and I think that's healthy. I wish we would have had more guidance and support from parents and teachers and the older generation, but they were just sitting there saying that just get yourself a decent education and a good job and get married and get children and be a normal citizen and everything is fine. And that's what we revolted against, of course. But if you are my age and you find yourself sitting in a, as a grandfather, grandmother, old religion, and telling the children you ought to chant your 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, otherwise you are no good grandsons, grandchildren, I mean, we can become like that, but come on, we're eternally young. And I know most of us, the ones I know at least, still are feeling that way as well. So what to do for the rest of our lives? Whatever we want, of course. But I'm saying here that this mission, this Gordian mission that we have, you know, the Iskon people have inherited, ever since our second birth, it's a wonderful, beautiful, fantastic mission. It has basically just started. There's so much more to do, and now we've got this fantastic media where we can do it. Yes, from our armchairs and without huge investments of money, you can reach billions of people, even from your phone. So what are we waiting for? But what I mean is that I always saw it that way also, that Krishna consciousness, this knowledge, you know, this Sanatana Dharma, this, it's practical. We should start with our lives and our questions and our needs and our all of that, desires. Look at that situation we find ourselves in, and the global situation of the world today. I mean, we should be a little aware. Doesn't mean that we think we can go out hippy happy and change the world just like that, but actually we can if we share good stuff. And if a few billions of us does that, then the world is changed. And you know, one person can write a book or make some songs that changes the world practically, and we've seen it, how it works. So no time to rest on your laurels and just waiting for death. But okay, I'm not, you know, always was like that. Hey, we're going to get out there and preach. But no, but if you are, say you are like me, dedicated still to that mission, stay in the heart, you know, the Sankirtan mission, it's hard to get away from it even if you want, and I don't want to get away from that. So I'm talking Sankirtan 2.0. And to me, it means that it easily becomes so that you preach to the congregation, you know, to the core, as they say. Who heard these things over and over again, and so they don't fall asleep. You put some jokes or some different little fancy angle to it, or more Sanskrit words, more advanced Sanskrit words that they listen because you are so advanced. And yes, you can dress this way and get that title that you're really advanced and they will really listen. But then you are in that world, sometimes just repeating. Sorry if I sound critical, but this is just a groupthink effect. Just repeating the, you know, generally accepted truths within the group you are in. And you rarely go out of it. don't know much what's going on out there anyway. And yes, you can be happy living in a temple chanting Hare Krishna. I'm not saying anything else. I've considered it myself. But you know, when you go out on social media and YouTube and all that and present this, because there's such a need for that to other people, then yeah, if your YouTube shorts or whatever, TikTok videos, are all about the importance of following Ekadashi and why you have to put on the tilak in the right way and not the wrong way, and so on. Even starting with advanced discussions such as Advaita Vedanta versus Veda Veda Tattva, and so on. Of course, this is all there. I would say take it down to start where we are, where people are, what's concerning the lives of people here, what's concerning your life as well. Not that we just try to figure out some new preaching trick, pretending to be like this or that. I would say just be ourselves and living our own real lives, honest in the sense of just not trying to pose as something else than who we are. Be honest about it. And this is me, and what you see here is me. My body at least, but it's me here behind it, trying to talk from wherever I am situated after these 50 years of